My presentation deals with both employees and patients, but in this case, the employees are healthcare providers, and it's their relationship to patient care, which is going to be proxied by patient outcomes. So we don't actually get to see the quality of care they're giving, but some of the outcomes, which is part of the difficulty of tweezing out what we want here, or tickling out what we want. Standard presentation outline for this, except I'll probably be skipping around a bit because I'm going to condense this really, really, really shortly. So because we have a large number of speakers here. So I'm going to skip these. Wait a minute. I don't want to skip the research rationale. I do want to talk about that for a second. The reason why we're doing this is that there's been there's a growing evidence about relationship between nurse staffing and patient outcomes. I'm doing an article for AJN that has found that there's like around 100 papers that have been published on this since the 80s of various caliber. And there's been around 40 since the in more recent years. And the studies, however, you'd think there'd be an overwhelming amount of evidence by now that staffing is better staffing is related to better patient outcomes. But there's inconsistencies between studies and even within studies, because each study tends to look at several different patient outcomes individually and may look at several different types of staffing. It could be the RN hours per patient day, or it could be RN skill mix, which is RNs over nurses. And they may look at a bunch of different patient outcomes, such as pressure sores, urinary tract infection, bloodstream infection, failure to rescue, et cetera. And within each one of those studies, some of the staffing may be positively related to better patient outcomes, and some of it not, and some of it might be counterintuitively related to worse patient outcomes. And then between studies, it's the same story, that one study will show that better RN staffing is related to less pressure sores, and another study will show that there's no significant relationship, and another study will show that it's related to more pressure sores. So that is the motivation behind another study on RN staffing and outcomes. And this study in particular uses a completely different methodology from any of the others. One of the drawbacks of all prior studies is their cross-sectional nature. There's only been a few studies that have actually looked at a change in staffing and its impact on a change in patient outcomes. One of those was by Jean Ann Ciego, did a study. And actually, the ones that tend to do longitudinal longitudinal methodology tend to have less robust results than the ones that are cross-sectional. So this is a very longitudinal study insofar as it is what's called a growth curve model. And the growth curve model takes into account both change variables and static variables, and it allows you to do a system equation modeling where you can treat a lot of variables as endogenous. So we don't just have one dependent variable, we have several endogenous variables. And so there's a whole model to this study, which is why it's difficult to explain the methodology at the beginning. So what I'm going to do is go to real briefly the design. So I had 9 years of panel data using Florida Agency for Healthcare Administration outpatient or inpatient data from hospitals, and we used the latent growth curve model methodology, which is looking at the impact of these things. We want to look at change trajectory, meaning if we're changing RN FTEs or just raw staffing numbers, on what impact does that have on the RN to adjusted patient days of care, or in other words, what impact does that have on workload? RNs to adjusted patient days of care is an inverse measure for workload. So that's the first thing we're looking at. We're also going to look at what impact does change in staffing, raw staffing, and the change in workload have on patient safety indicators that we got from the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality. They've developed a software to extract indicators from inpatient data. And what impact does that have on a composite patient safety event? We're going to look at an initial or static amount of RN staffing on the change in workload, the static amount of RN staffing on the static workload, and on the change, and the static staffing and static workload on change in patient safety indicators and the composite, and the static RN staffing on static static workload, and so on. It's very, very complex. So this might help us envision it a bit. Here's some of the variables. These are our endogenous variables, meaning they're variables that can interact with each other. So therefore, we can't treat them as independent. So in fact, we're actually modeling them as having interactions with others. And these are our decubitus ulcers, failure to rescue, pneumothorax, infection, postoperative respiratory failure, and postoperative sepsis. And the composite of patient safety event is the combination of all of these. And another variable we treated as endogenous was workload. It was endogenous because we related it to staffing. So we wanted to see if the number of RN FTEs is reduced in a facility, is that affecting workload? It wouldn't necessarily have to. It could be reduced because their patient days dropped. So we wanted to really test that, and that's why this workload or RNs to patient days of care is in as a separate endogenous variable. And then an exogenous variable, meaning this variable is independent. It's going to be our starting point. Our independent variable is the raw staffing RN FTEs. Some more independent exogenous variables are hospital case mix, ownership, hospital ownership, size, urban status, number of HMO days, number of Medicare patient days, or rural status. Now, these are also, I have to make a distinction here, these are also time invariant, meaning we got an average number for the 9 years of data and plugged that in as a fixed amount. And you may protest, but case mix changed over the 9 years. Yes, it did a little bit. But our problem with putting them in as a varying variable is our degrees of freedom in the equation, because if everything's varying, we have an enormous reduction in degrees of freedom. So we're holding these as fixed. And if I can go back for a second, if I can go back in the right way, we're varying the number of RN FTEs over the 9 years. We're assuming that they did change. We're assuming that workload changed over 9 years. And we're assuming that all of the patient outcomes changed. And that's varying a lot of things. And when you see my model, you'll see what I'm talking about. We had a bunch of different data sources, which if anybody's interested in my slide stuff, I can send that to them. And we had to match everything up on a hospital level basis. And our latent growth curve model, this is just more detail about the model that I'm also going to skip over. And here is a visualization of just the time varying variable. So if you look at that, you see that we have separate variables for all of the 9 years for each separate patient safety indicator that we threw in. We have separate variables for all of our staffing on your left-hand side. And we have nine separate variables for all of the workload. And that ends up being a large number of variables that are in the equation. So had we made some of those other time invariant ones varying, we would have had an even more complicated looking model. Results. We unfortunately did not get more consistency. We found still inconsistencies across. Now, I also have to make clear that in each model we ran separate patient safety indicators as are endogenous. So these weren't thrown all into one model. So let's take decubitus ulcer, for example, and we're looking at the RN staffing, which is RNFTE. The I stands for intercept, and that means that intercept means that's the static variable. So when we look at just static, my colleagues said think of it as starting point. When we're looking at our starting point number of RNFTEs, we see that that having a hospital that has a higher number of RNFTEs is not significantly related to the formation of decubitus ulcers in those patients. It is, however, significantly related to a drop in failure to rescue, because if you look at the first few rows there, they're all the slope, PSI slope, which means the change in those PSIs. If you go down to the RNFTES, that is the RNFTE slope, meaning the RNFTE change. If we increase in each a hospital that increases their RN staffing, has no significant decrease in decubitus ulcers, but does have a significant decrease in failure to rescue. So that's sort of the way to read. I have a sort of a plethora of results tables here, and what we see is, for all of the PSI changes, it does tend to be more significant relationships in the intuitive direction, we would think. So we do tend to see that increases in staffing or decreases in workload are significantly related to various decreases in PSIs, but not always. So failure to rescue happened to be a rather strong one, which I'll mention later. And in the interest of just wrapping this right up, I'm going to skip through all of these graphs and go to where I wrote up my results in words. Okay, here are my results in words. As with prior studies, we find little consistency across these patient outcomes, PSIs or the PSEs. Many of the relationships were insignificant, such as if you take decubitus ulcer as a patient outcome, most of the staffing related to that was insignificantly related to decubitus ulcers. And my composite patient safety event that I developed from these individual PSIs had totally insignificant results with staffing. And it's probably just the fault of whatever. We did use principal component analysis to do that, but for some reason it did not draw out any kind of overall significance. Higher initial workload, this is that static level of workload, was not related to higher rates of PSIs or PSEs, and lower initial static levels of RN staffing was not related to any changes in workload over time. I even had some counterintuitive results. Increases in workload was related to reductions in respiratory failure and postoperative sepsis. Higher initial workload was related to lower rates of decubitus ulcers, infections, and composite PSEs. And reduction in RNFTEs was related to reduction in failure to rescue. I did have some results, significant results that support the hypotheses, and I wish this was at least just consistent across one PSI, but it just seems to jump around. Lower initial RN staffing was related to greater growth in failure to rescue. Higher initial workload was related to greater growth in decubitus ulcers, or growth in decubitus ulcers. Lower initial RN staffing was related to higher workload across all of the patient safety in PSIs or PSEs. Also, a fall in RN staffing was related to a greater growth in failure to rescue, postoperative respiratory failure, postoperative sepsis, and these are all pretty strong. So you see again the theme here is that the change variables came out stronger than the static variables, which is what a lot of our cross-sectional research draws out. An increase in workload was related to a greater growth in infection. A fall in RN staffing was related to an increase in RN workload. So in conclusion, we still the study was not the end all the be all end all of staffing studies, and there's more work to do. My colleague and I are going to work on trying to clean up the data more, add some more years, and rethink our model, our systems equation model, to see if there's something in the model that is not making things consistent. We did have causalities supported in 5 of the 7 PSIs, that should be PSIs, but not consistently. And the strongest case for causality is with failure to rescue, which is something that's been brought out in some other studies. This supports like Linda Aiken's big research on staffing, because she's found that failure to rescue is strongly related. And I think that's all in my... Some limitations. My data was state of Florida, and I also use the American Hospital Association annual survey, which has a lot of issues with... I use that for the staffing, and it has multiple issues with staffing. And the measures are fairly new measures from AHRQ. They need more testing in relationship to staffing. This is probably the first... There's not been a published study on staffing that's used the PSIs yet. There's been some studies that have used them in relationship to financial issues. And then already mentioned the model having a poor fit, so we need to repeat the study with the PSIs again, use a larger multi-state data set, use cleaner staffing data, and a better model. And then we'll see what our results are then. So, any questions? About why there was inconsistent causality. Well, we talked prior to. Yeah, there's other intervening variables. There's a lot left out of this analysis that would have to do with RN characteristics, which is interestingly the topic of this session, and I don't capture that at all. I capture only quantity of RNs. I don't capture education. I don't capture years of experience. I don't capture other work environment issues because as I talk with others about staffing and workload, it's not just the RN to patient ratio that makes workload. It's a lot of other factors on that unit that create workload issues. So, and there's no way to do that in this type of a study because this is archival data. You have to use individual RN survey data to get at that. And then again, I think, as I mentioned, the model might not be right. We need to look at the system equation model that we used, and the data might not be too reliable. So I think it's all stuff that needs to continual work. Thanks. Oh, another question now. Oh, my God! Sue Avila! I recognize you the minute you opened your mouth. Exactly. Well, I would think, but that is one of the issues, and one of the studies I've wanted to do is a study which merely looks at all of these outcome measures that we've assigned and we've called patient-sensitive. In fact, NQF now has this list of patient outcomes that they say are associated to staffing, but nobody's validated that. Nobody has actually researched whether these are that closely related to staffing. And I think you're right. I think failure to rescue seems to be a patient outcome that is the most related to RN care than some of the other variables. So exactly, yeah, and that may be one conclusion that we get when we feel like we've got a study that's good enough to publish.